Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Week three in the NFL and the second to last weekend of Major League Baseball. The final nine for both the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. More on that as the show rolls on. Obviously, the Mets are trying to hold on to the third wild card spot with a two-game lead over both the Cincinnati Reds and the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Yankees are trying to hold on to the first wild card spot so they could have home field advantage in that opening round, but they're not completely dead in the American League East. And we obviously know what's at hand for the football teams this weekend. Aaron Glenn told us earlier today that the sky is not falling. He said that numerous times. But the sky does feel like it's falling. And if they lose on Sunday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think the sky's going to be really falling, Mr. Glenn. Jets Buccaneers on Sunday, and obviously the Giants have a date with the defending AFC champions on Sunday night, the Kansas City Chiefs. So we've talked about all of it over the first two-plus hours. We'll get into more details as the show rolls on, including our NFL picks in the 5 o'clock hour. And, of course, you, 888-808-1019. Chris is calling from Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. Good show. A lot of fun. Evan, I want to take you off probation today. No issues today. You got all the wacky nicknames out of the way. Everything's good. I want to tell you why the Giants are going to win on Sunday night, because Russell Wilson is a prime-time stud. He's going to win a game. It's a done deal. Giants over the Chiefs.
Now I'm going to go Google Russell Wilson's stats in prime-time games.
I had to do that. But look, there is something that is undeniable about Russ, is that he doesn't get flustered in whatever the moments are. Now, he hasn't always been good over the last few years, but you never see him panicking or going into outbursts or losing his cool, so to speak. And I think in some ways that really does serve you in these, you know, big national primetime games where all the pomp and circumstances surrounding you, the massive Sunday night football trucks are in the parking lot. It's a big deal, right? The cameras, everything. It's there. And being able to handle that is, I mean, that's why you want a vet, or at least someone who is cool as a cucumber, as your QB. That's Russ. At the very least, that's Russ. Now, I don't know what his career performance is.
Oh, I've got the numbers.
Let's hear it.
Now, before I read them to you, do you think, just off the top of your head, that Chris was right in saying he's this incredible quarterback in primetime games?
Well, I mean, he won a Super Bowl, so he was really good in the other one that he lost. So just by those two alone, I'm going to say yes.
Okay. You have a guess, Sean? You're usually on top of stuff like this?
It's funny. I'm going to guess based on Chris's call, yes, but the two that stick out to me are losing to the Seahawks on that Monday night game, his first game versus them,
yes. Right.
And freaking Christmas Day versus the Chiefs last year where he stunk.
Yeah, but those were...
That's still primetime standalone.
Okay, but that was with the Denver Broncos, who were a disaster, and that was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were just... very average.
That is true. I mean, you're probably going to think Seattle. So here are the answers. And the answers are yes, yes, and yes. Russell Wilson has a career record in primetime games of 29-11. It is the best among active quarterbacks.
Right.
His passer rating in primetime games, 102.9, is also the best among active quarterbacks with a minimum of 15 games played. So, yeah.
What I find so funny about this stat is we did this same bit with Daniel Jones last year.
The opposite. Right.
God, the guy never wins in primetime.
That's true.
And now you're having the flip around going, this quarterback never loses in primetime.
I mean, I think there is something to being able to play when you know the pressure is on you. And so that's one of the positives about Russ. I don't think that came in to the discussion when Joe Shane and Dave's and the organization was thinking about who we want our veteran quarterback to come in and be the bridge until we get to the guy we want to draft. I don't think it was part of it, but it's undeniable that Russ plays big in big games.
I think that what this should prove to you, it doesn't prove the Giants are going to win, doesn't prove anything like that, but I think what it should provide information is that Russell Wilson plays badly on Sunday, it's not going to be because the moment's too big.
No.
It's not going to be because of anything like that. And I think with young quarterbacks, or certainly in the Daniel Jones era, there was always that worry. And I remember that was a thing. Like, standalone games, Daniel Jones is 1-11 or whatever the heck it was. Russell Wilson's been there before. And Russ admitted, I'm not surprised by this, but I forget about it a little bit. I heard him earlier this week talking about Sunday and talking about Sunday night. And one of the things that means a lot to him is walking into the same building where he won his championship.
Yeah, of course. He has the same locker, as he says. He talks about it. And I think it means something to him.
Like, means nothing to us, but means a lot to him.
Well, the history of your life, of your story, as he's still writing it, I think is important. And Russ is one of those rare current athletes, and maybe it's because he's 37. He's older. So he can tell his story in real time. Most athletes can't tell the story in real time. It takes time to, you know, ponder it and contemplate and rethink it and maybe write memoir, whatever the heck you're going to do. But it takes some time for a lot of athletes. Russ is not that way. It's as if when something happens, it registers in his database, and he can tell a compelling story, which I think is why the Giants look at him so much as a leader. I saw Russ last night. We were at the rookie fashion show. It was at Macy's Herald Square. It was awesome. It was kids walking fashion. So Tegan walked for Levi. It's Nike. Russ's new brand that he just introduced today, which is being sold at Nike. It was also benefiting his foundation, Why Not You? And so Russ was there with CR and their four kids, I think five kids, whatever it was. He was there. And I asked him, I was like, What's the team like? Like, you got how you feeling? And he said, "No, we're all good, man. We had a good red zone productive day yesterday." And like, there is a calmness that you feel from him, even when we as fans all around him are going, "What the hell's going on? Fire Dave's, and we suck it. We're not going to win this." Like, he's just chill, and so that lends itself to performing well in moments that are heightened and every eye is on you. And that's kind of where Russ is right now. Giants game preview is brought to you by New York Oasis. Don't know, don't judge, turn the page on stigma. Learn more at oasis.ny.gov. That's oasis.ny.gov.
Paul is calling from Newark, New Jersey. What's going on today, Paul?
Hey, Evan, Tiki. Good to talk to you. Tiki, you're the man. I always love watching you play.
Thank you, brother.
Mets pitching. So they pair Manaea and Holmes. Hey, it worked out great. They got a good win. So what are they going to do? Bring Senga back and pair him with Peterson since he can't go more than four innings? Now you got four pitchers taking two spots in the rotation. That sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah, but it worked out in the postseason. But hold on, Paul. Yeah. Doesn't that work in the postseason? It would suck for the regular season, but...
It can work roster-wise. I mean, think about it. Right now, you have 14 pitchers on your roster. That's going to go down to 13 come October. So you can make it work. The problem is, he mentioned Kodai Senga.
Yeah.
And here's where we stand with Kodai Senga. He went to the minor leagues. His first minor league start was really good. But something odd happened. He puts up great numbers, right? And I'm like, cool, let's call him back. I'm ready to call him back. Like, I'm ready to bring him back.
Yeah, call him back after one start.
Both David Stearns and Carlos Mendoza really downplayed it. And they said, it's all about the stuff. It's all about the way it looks.
Right.
Mendy even made the comment, no guarantee he's on a playoff roster. They really kind of lowered expectations.
Why would they say that?
Here's why, I think. He pitched last night and got bombed. So maybe what he did in his first minor league start wasn't as impressive as the final line was.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
We don't know the opponent.
Well,
we don't know. I mean, we can look it up, but we don't know who he was pitching in that first start.
Right, and we didn't watch the game. It's a minor league game. Right. So I don't know what his stuff looked like. I don't know where his velocity was sitting. But clearly the Mets never seemed enamored by bringing Senga back. And now coming off the bad start last night, my assumption is he's not coming back. Mm. Now, we'll see what Carlos Mendoza says when he meets the media later today before they begin the series against the Nationals. But I don't think we're going to see Kodai Senga again. And so if you want to team up David Peterson, here's where I'm at now on this, because things change daily. Brandon Sproat starts tonight. He's looked good in his first few starts.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan McClain clearly has become the ace of the team. And Jonah Tong's bounce back yesterday, so impressive, he deserves another start.
Yes.
I think Sean Manaea was so good in his five innings. And so good, Tiki, the way he recovered in the Philly game.
You want to flip the piggyback?
No, I think he can make a traditional start.
Oh.
And I think the new tag team.
Back again.
Is David Peterson and Clay Holmes. And so, guys, new nickname, sorry. We got the Mahomes thing is gone. Because I'm willing to kind of take the risk that Sean Manaea has figured it out. I'm not with Clay Holmes and certainly not with David Peterson.
Well,
I think we need a new tag team.
I think Clay is fine starting a game. For four innings.
Yeah.
But after that, it's anybody's guess.
So how about David Peterson? You got the lefty-righty connection.
Yeah.
Peterson is used to coming out of the bullpen. He did it in the postseason last year. How about a new tag team? The Pata Holmes tag team. The Peter Clay tag team. Whatever you want to call them. I don't care.
Clay Holmes.
Why would it be Clay Holmes?
No. Wait.
His name is David Peterson.
Clay.
Clay Peterson?
Clay.
Peter Holmes?
Clay.
Homerson? Homerson! There it is!
Hey, that's one you want in baseball, to call him Homerson.
Oh, because of homers?
Mm, yeah.
Didn't even think about that. Well, there used to be a pitcher named Bob Walk, you know? Did he walk everybody? That was before my time.
I can't think of anything clever.
But that's where I'm at now on the Met rotation. Do you at least agree? Forget about the nickname. Do you agree with that plan?
I can. But then now you're trusting that Sean Manaea is going to be a viable starter for you.
I think I can. I was really encouraged by what happened at the end of the Philly start.
Well, I agree, but he also was terrible to start the first two innings.
I know, but then look what he did to finish that game and what he did the other night when he cleaned up after Clay. Both went five innings.
Both of which he didn't start the game.
No, he started the first game. He just got off to a bad start.
Well, he didn't start the game well.
I'm willing to take the risk. I admit, Teak, it may fail. Like, I'm not telling you this is a guarantee. I'm just the Met rotation evolves more than anything I've ever seen. It's not that we're all changing our minds. It's that we're all changing our minds because what we're watching changes all the time.
Right.
So with the Yankees, we're pretty steady. It's Fried, it's Rodon. And lately I've been leaning on the Will Warren area with Schlittler and Heel coming out of the bullpen. And if you vary on that, it's slight. With the Mets, it's extreme. Jonah Tong needs to be sent down to the minor leagues. Jonah Tong should start game two of the playoffs. One start literally changes that.
Right. It was Kodai Senga. He's your ace all season long. Now bring the kid up. He's fantastic. Nolan McLean.
Yeah.
He's your ace.
Yes. I was playing a game. I did it with you once. I did it on the Rico a few times, which is, hey, if the playoffs started today, give me your rotation. Mm-hmm. I know we did that with the Yankees. And like I said, the Yankee one's kind of boring right now because it's Fried, Rodon, and then who's the third?
Yeah. Let's say Will Warren.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
With the Mets, and the caveat is the Mets have a lot of work to do. They still need to make the playoffs. We all get it. Yada, 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 yada. We're not jinxing them. If the playoffs started today, your three-man rotation in the wild card series, Tiki Barber, would be?
Nolan McLean, piggyback Clay Manaea, Sproat.
Okay. Manaea and Holmes, you said?
Yeah.
And then Sproat. So David Peterson's in the bullpen.
Manaea. Get it right. Holmes and Manaea. Yes. Okay. Holmes first.
Okay. Tommy, what do you got? Sproat.
I'm going Nolan McLean, Sproat, and I'm piggybacking Peterson and Holmes.
Yeah. Peterson and Holmes. Yeah, that's me. I'm with you on that, bro. Totally with you.
In that order?
I'm not afraid because we've seen it.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen the openers? The Dodgers did it all last year.
I know, but this isn't even an opener. It's just using two starting pitchers that can't go deep in a game.
It's better than the opener.
I agree.
It's a piggyback.
No, it's a tag team.
Back again.
Yeah. I think that I'd probably, we went into detail on the Yankee stuff on why I would save a guy to potentially pitch game two or game three or be ready for the DS. I think that the difference in Met arms is so non-existent that I would not get cute with that. I would just literally say it's McLean, Sproat, David Peterson, Clay Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
I would just throw them out there. There is a part of me that thinks about Nolan McLean for game two, only because, hear me out on this, he looks like someone who can handle anything.
Yeah.
He looks like a kid that you can say, go pitch in a hurricane, and he'll pitch six scoreless innings, right?
Yeah, of course.
We all get that vibe about him?
Without a doubt.
While game one is a way to set the tone for a series, game two could be survival.
Mm.
Your season could be on the line, or you could be going for the kill. And so that feels like such a hostile environment that I'd almost prefer McLean be pitching that game. So that's where I would think.
I think that's overthinking it.
Am I overthinking it?
Yeah, that feels like it's overthinking it.
No,
you trust the Clay Holmes as a veteran, even though he was mostly a reliever in his career. He's actually pitched well in the first three or four innings of games. So you trust him and you trust Manaea in this game two after you've won game one.
Yeah.
That would be my gut. Or Clay Holmes and Peterson, whichever combo you have.
And here's where a card is subject to change on this. So I agree with Tommy. It would be McLean, Sproat, and then a Peterson-Holmes combo. I'm leaving Manaea out. Mm-hmm. I'm using him as a bullpen arm. If Manaea gets a true start, which I would like for him to get, and he delivers in that true start.
Will he line up for that?
You can line whoever the hell you want this.
For now, for the remaining seven.
Manaea is scheduled to pitch Sunday, but he's out on paternity leave. So there's some questions. Maybe Mendy will answer this when he meets the media later on if he's going to pitch Sunday, if he's going to be available or not.
He's scheduled to start Sunday.
He is, well.
Or he's scheduled to piggyback, tag team, whatever you want to call it.
Mendoza said the other day his plan was to do a tag team of Clay Holmes and Trum and I on Sunday and openly said I would consider flipping them because of the Nationals' lefties in their batting order.
Right.
They have a lot of lefties in their batting order. James Wood, C.J. Abrams, guys like that. That he would consider flipping them. So that would be his plan, but because Manaea's out on paternity leave, is he throwing? Mm. Has he thrown a bullpen? I think that's leading to questions to where he may not pitch Sunday.
Right.
It's complicated with the Mets. It's so weird. Let's go to John and Maspeth. What's up, John?
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's happening?
Before I get to my point, Sean, those four Nets tickets, take the two for the Lakers game and two for the Warriors game. Because those have the highest resale value.
I like that thought, John. Good call.
You can make about $600 off them, just to let you know. I already took the prices.
John, that's a man with a thought.
The hapless Nets.
Exactly. To my point, okay, so it's my phone now.
Great. We lost his phone, but he was able to at least...
We wanted your point, which was, sounds like a good one.
Do you know what his point was, Tommy? Because he sold that he had a creative Yankee idea, and I can't imagine John having something creative.
Yeah, and he was on hold yesterday forever. We never got to him. The point is that the Yankees would list a starter, random starter. Let's say it's Rodon. And then I'm pretty sure this is illegal. And then 30 minutes before the game, they would pull Rodon, meaning the other team would have set their lineup thinking they're facing Rodon, and they'd throw another starting pitcher in there. The old switcheroo.
It is. You can't do that. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I think that's what I thought.
The rules on this have changed more with betting. But I've always been a proponent. I think John McGraw, many, many years ago. That's right. A John McGraw reference. He's been dead for 70 years. But you know what? One of the greatest minds of all time. And to quote his wife, his widow at the time, she was asked, what would John think of the Giants and the Dodgers leaving New York? And she said, if he was still alive, that would have killed him. So anyhow, John McGraw, I think, had two guys warming up in the bullpen to start a World Series game. I forget who the two guys were, to try to keep Connie Mack off the scent. But I think in 2025, you cannot do that. So, different world, but nice idea, John. And let me get to the Nets tickets idea. I said to Sean, who happens to be a Nets fan, hey, you did such a good job, I'm going to reward you with Net tickets.
The Nets still in the league?
Not for him to resell Nets tickets.
To go as an award, a reward.
Yes!
The hapless Nets.
I do want to go, and actually, you got to give me a little more credit, John. What was the first team I shouted out? Because I don't want to bleed Evan dry. I said, Nets Hornets, here I come. Mm-hmm.
That's not why you did it, though. You said Nets Hornets because you actually, as a fan, want to go see your team win potentially.
You're going to win the game.
Yes.
Because I know what I'm sick of doing, which I did twice last year. I don't want to go to any more Nets-Cavs games. Evan can keep those.
What, did I take you to a lot of Nets-Cavs games?
You took me to one, and then I went to one on my own. I'm done watching Donovan Mitchell score 35 points on them.
Good. So you don't want to go to Nets opening night?
That's different. That's opening night.
They're playing the Cavs.
I already forgot about that. Opening night's a different, you know.
All right, the net clock is ticking. We're done talking about them. I preemptively ended.
Thank you for remembering that, Tommy.
Yes. Ben is calling from Florham Park, New Jersey. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys. Going back to the Giants, wasn't really surprised that Daboll and Kafka were able to cut up the zone, passive zone defense that the Dallas Cowboys had. They did the same. Drew Locke looked like Tom Brady against the Colts previous year, and a couple years back against, you know, passive zone against Minnesota. The Chiefs are different. They blitz more. They play like a cover zero. Tiki, how would you attack them? A lot of moon balls, or what would you do?
Yeah, I hope they play cover zero. Cover zero, for those that don't know, there's no safety in the middle of the field. You got extra guys down around the line of scrimmage, so you can get pressure on the quarterback and hope that he gets the ball out quickly so that your man coverage, every receiver is man covered, has more time or less time to for the quarterback to make a play. If they play cover zero, you're going to see 30 go balls.
Mm.
You're going to see Malik Nabers or whoever. You actually might see Jalen Hyatt in this game if the Kansas City Chiefs are going to commit to playing cover zero consistently. And again, you won't know that until a quarter into the game. But it is such a liability for your if you don't get home and you have good wide receivers playing and you're going to play cover zero. Now, that being said, I doubt they're going to play that way the whole time.
That feels like it feeds right into Russ.
100%. To Russ and to Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
And some of the explosive plays that we saw a week ago from the Giants. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are gonna show zero, but drop into these zones because they believe that Karloftis and even though what's his name? I forget the... What's the tackle? What's the D tackle's name? I'm forgetting his name.
Chris Jones?
Yeah, Chris Jones. Even though he's aging, he's got a year older, he's still the dominant interior pass rusher. I think they believe they can get home.
He has done nothing the first 2 weeks of the year.
Nothing, because he's getting older.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I still think he'll be fine. It's 2 weeks into the NFL season.
Right. Their front seven is good. And so I think they believe that they'll be able to get home and play coverage behind.
You know, sometimes you try to compliment somebody, and while complimenting them, you're ripping somebody else. You didn't even mean to, but it'd be like if I'm like, oh, boy, Tiki, you work so hard. I'm so used to working with people that are lazy. Like, I'm complimenting you.
Right, but you're insulting somebody else.
Yes! I mean, Sean could take it as an insult. Tommy could take it. So, that's a normal thing that happens. You want to compliment somebody, you compliment them, but it comes out as an insult on somebody else. That happened last night on the Thursday Night Football broadcast. The great Al Michaels was complimenting how exciting the Buffalo Bills are. And he proceeded to say this.
You know, some teams are good, and they're not particularly interesting. The Buffalo Bills have really become a great team to watch.
So it led to a lot of speculation. Who's he talking about?
Right.
What good NFL team, a really good NFL team, is boring? And I think all of us are pointing the finger at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, who else would it be?
The Chiefs, man.
The Chiefs are not boring.
They're very boring. They're actually boring to watch.
Yes. No way.
They don't score a lot of points despite having a great quarterback, and the defense is just ho-hum. Patrick, I think it's a Chief thing.
See, I took it as the Eagles, and I thought it was unfair because I think the Eagles are pretty exciting. I think any team is exciting. But I think the Chiefs are incredibly exciting. Pat Mahomes will do something.
Well, it's just the execution's not the same. That's why it's not necessarily exciting.
So who do you think is...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
What's talking about?
Probably the Eagles.
So you're with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because people have said that. They're the only team without a pass.
You can apologize, Sean. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to push back. After having a year of our face noses rubbed in and talking about how exciting and how the backward hurdle, how exciting the Saquon Eagles is, now they're boring?
No, they're not boring. I actually think they're incredibly interesting.
Me
too. Because they run the hell out of the ball, and they're successful without having to throw the ball down the field. So to me, that's interesting. Now, I'm biased because I'm a running back.
Sure.
And obviously they lost their offensive coordinator. to the head coach of the to the Saints, Kellen Moore. But Kevin Petullo, who's taken in, he's been the pass game coordinator for the last couple of years. You would think he'd want to enhance the pass game because that's how he becomes a head coach in theory. All he's done is lean into the run game.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's working, so that's awesome. Like, right. The way I look at great teams, and you could cross over sports, is I don't find great teams boring. Like, even the San Antonio Spurs back in the day, mm-hmm. I never thought of them as a boring team, but people perceive them as that. And the reason I thought he was talking about the Eagles, Sean, is because of what he said around Jalen Hurts and how they're not asking him to do a lot. He's not making amazing highlight reel plays. Hmm. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet. And so I interpreted it. Maybe I'm wrong. We could ask Al. He'll get a chance to confirm it one way or the other. He's calling an Eagle game in a couple of weeks. Giants-Eagles on a Thursday night. I thought it was based on that and about that.
That's fascinating. So, I mean, obviously we know Hurts' passing yards are down, but when you think of Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Saquon, I've never gotten the sense people find the Eagles boring.
So, but you thought they thought the Chiefs were boring?
No. I don't think he's saying that they are in general. I think he's saying this year they are.
The Eagles.
Because it's just, they're just running the ball.
Okay.
See, and Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet this year.
So the way and that's fair. Just from the football fan perspective, I believe last year we got a lot of this and it bled into this year. Now they were still great, which is the Chief fatigue. Like, okay, you know, here they are scoring 20 points and not doing anything. We get, you know, Taylor Swift in the booth. I feel like people are beaten down by Chief
But they have
fatigue.
Such star power. Like mega grandma test star power when it comes to the quarterback and even the tight end. I know that's related to his marital life or what's about to be his marital life. So I never felt the Chiefs were looked at as boring.
Oh, now I'm interested in this. Is boring, okay, you have two people your grandma would know, but their brand of football. Like I think I just think if you're a football fan watching.
Did you hear the clip live last night?
I got to be honest. It didn't register with me.
Okay. When I played it now, you thought Kansas City Chiefs?
First thing that jumped out of my mind is, yeah, I see it. I feel like people have been saying this about the Chiefs.
What did you think, Tommy?
I thought same thing as Sean, Chiefs.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like that's a big football conversation. It's how boring the Chiefs actually are.
Both. That they're not the Tyreek Hill Chiefs anymore. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes can't throw the ball down the field.
Well, they try to be, but it doesn't work.
They're not explosive anymore.
Right. They the first couple of plays of the game, they're running these like massive like double posts and deep overs, and he's just standing there. He ends up running for 15 or 12 yards, whatever it was, and gets the first down. That's why he's the leading rusher, because they design all these massive big plays, but people are playing zones, and so there's nowhere for him to go with the ball. Therefore, he's got 130 yards rushing.
I know. He's leading the team in rushing. He's not throwing for a lot of passing yards. It's like it's a weird statistical year for Pat Mahomes so far.
And remember this. The Eagles, while they haven't thrown for a lot of yards the first 2 weeks, what we've seen from the Chiefs, this is kind of a carryover from last year where that boring brand of football, remember, they almost lost to the Raiders on Black Friday. They had all of these just gutty, dirty, close wins where we questioned if they were the same Chiefs last year, and they ended up making the Super Bowl, but it came across as boring all year.
Mm. Yeah, I took it as Al taking a shot at the Eagles, and I was actually going to defend the Eagles and say, first of all, when you're winning, it ain't boring. When you're winning, I don't care how you're doing, it ain't boring. When the Devils were winning in the late 90s doing the neutral zone trap, was it boring for them, though, as fans?
Probably not because you're winning. But that
you have no credibility on the subject because you hate that. Well, you're a Ranger fan.
They ruined the sport.
They didn't ruin it. And if the Rangers were doing that, what would you have said?
Honestly. I don't care that it's ruining the sport. I'm reaping the benefits.
Okay. But you wouldn't even acknowledge it was ruining the sport.
I probably would because that's fair.
Well, here's why. Because the Eagles have 27 more rushing yards than passing yards on the season.
Well, why shouldn't they? They have Saquon Barkley.
They don't have a 100-yard receiver.
They have an elite-level offensive line. Yes. They have the best running back in the sport. Why the hell not?
I agree. To me, it's not boring.
I don't think it's boring either. Honestly,
it's smart.
I think the bias I have, and I've always had this, is I don't look at any great team as boring. Mm-hmm. I may not like the great team. I may be jealous of the great team. I may root passionately against the great team. But I'm trying to think, like, in my history as a sports fan, because I just defended the Devils. I defended the Spurs, who used to have that reputation. Like, I don't think...
The Patriots, other than the year the Giants...
Well, I hated them, though.
They were boring, though.
But did you hear what I just said?
No, I know that, but, like...
I didn't think they were boring.
Try to take your hatred out of it, if you can. Be an IHO here. You don't think that the Patriots' years were boring?
No.
Really? Mm.
They were a great team, and you marvel at greatness. Like, I didn't think they played
They weren't explosive.
Well, so pick your year. Some years they were.
Except for the 07 year where Tom Brady threw 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Most of the other years, the offenses was it was just dink and dunk, and we're going to out-scheme you.
Yeah, and most Super Bowls that they won were always like late and close.
Of course.
They didn't blow anybody out, that's for sure. Yeah, I didn't like them, but never felt they were boring. But I guess that's my own bias that I have a tough time looking at a great team and thinking they're boring. I didn't think the dynastic Yankees were boring in the late 90s. I didn't like them.
The Braves were boring with all that pitching.
See, I completely disagree. And again, hated the Braves too, but I think pitching is awesome. I think great dominant pitching is amazing. Same thing with the Diamondbacks in 2001. They were boring. They were a two-man team. I've never seen a baseball team actually win because of two people. Only two people.
Oh, I got one.
This might be why people say this. And again, I'm just looking at the Eagles. I'm just watching tape right now.
Are you bored by the tape?
I'm not, but it's third and six. So they're beating the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going back to the Chiefs games. It's 13 to 10. Eagles over the Chiefs.
Okay.
It's third and 16. Philadelphia, it's on its own 29-yard line. The game is by no means in hand. Third and 16, they run a draw. They just run a draw. Pick up 8 yards and punt.
And that's boring?
To most people, that's boring.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even try to get the first down.
No, I get you.
They were just happy to get 8 yards and punt.
It was smart football, but yes.
Of course it's smart football. And so smart football is boring because people like to see the risk taker.
Interesting.
People like to see the Baker Mayfield, right? The guy who's going to throw it over the top on third down. What Aaron Rodgers tries to do. And that works sometimes. A lot of times it doesn't.
You know what's crazy? And I'm not saying this to be a contrarian. I think too much of that is boring. Because too much of that becomes like easy.
Yeah.
It's like too many home runs in baseball.
Yes.
It's like too many threes in the NBA. Like too much of something that's generally exciting kind of makes it less exciting.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, unfortunately, this is the media landscape that we're in where if you lead the league in home runs, you deserve to be an MVP.
Tiki is really bothered by this. I brought this up yesterday, the Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh debate. Very passionate that Judge is the MVP, and I was so surprised how much Tiki agreed with me and how much he's still bothered by those that claim Cal Raleigh is the MVP.
Well, the problem is they talked about it on the Fox broadcast last
night. Kenny Albert did a great job.
Hey, look, I saw David Cohn at the, David Cohn at the rookie runway show yesterday, and I was just talking about it.
A lot of name dropping from Tiki. Anyone else you want to name drop?
Busta Rhymes was there.
Busta Rhymes. Right. We got Russell Wilson. His we got David played. Cohn. Anyone else?
Jameis was there. Tyrone Tracy. I sat next to his girl.
Any baseball?
Josh Hart.
Oh, Josh Hart!
Josh Hart was there with his twins. Cute as hell.
Yeah.
They didn't want to walk down the runway, and like one of them just kind of sat down on the runway, so Josh got up there.
That's adorable. See, how can I hate Josh Hart?
He's such a good-looking
dude. I hate that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. Who else was there? That was probably...
That's a good amount of name dropping.
But anyways, I was talking about... It just happened to see David Cohn, and I was talking about baseball and how many, Fox is screwing y'all at all these good games, etc. He's like, I work plenty type of thing. But anyways, I go home, and I'm watching the game. And so I turn it on Fox, and they're talking at the exact time I get home about the Kyle Raleigh, Aaron Judge MVP debate.
Yes.
And they kept talking about how unique it was. Whoa, and Aaron Judge did this in 62 home runs in 2022. It was unique, and... blah, 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 did this. It was unique. And Cal Raleigh's having a unique season as a catcher. It's harder for catchers because they squat in their knees, and it's wear and tear on their body. So for him to hit 56 home runs, it's amazing. He deserves the MVP because it's exactly your stance yesterday. And the fact that we had debated it, and then I hear it on Fox, annoyed the hell out of me. Because who cares if he's unique? You're measuring Cal Raleigh off of 15 people? Maybe 10 switch-hitting catchers? Probably less than that.
Well, people that have hit 60 homers.
I'm not even talking about that. He hasn't hit 60 home runs yet. If he does hit 60 home runs, maybe it's a different conversation. He's still going to hit 240. Okay?
I get it.
So my point is, he's having a great season. And it's an outlier season. But the thing that really annoyed me is when I thought about it from Judge's standpoint, Aaron Judge is iconic. We know this. He's one of the most popular players in baseball. In 2022, he hit 62 home runs and won the MVP. In 2023, he got hurt. He only played 106 or something games or something of that nature. He had a good season, but he missed it. 2024, last year, he was dominant. Again, doing exactly what he's doing right now.
leading the league in OPS and on-base percentage and slugging and all those things that matter. Hitting over 300, he won the MVP. This year, he's doing the exact same thing. Is dominant, easily the best player in the American League. But because Kyle Raleigh is unique, they want to give him the MVP. And so if you rob, because I'm calling it that now, rob the best player in the American League, the MVP, because you want to give it to some gimmick? I'm serious.
Yeah.
Kyle Raleigh's a 220 hitter. He's not a great hitter. He hits 30 home runs a season, but he's a 220 hitter. You want to rob Aaron Judge of his back-to-back and his third MVP? You screw with his legacy. And I hate that term because I think it's overblown, but you're screwing with his legacy for something that is different and unique, but not better than Aaron Judge. That bothers me.
That was good stuff. I'm not adding a damn word to it. I completely agree with him.
I'm not either. I'm just going to talk trash about him later at a bar.
well done, Tiki.
That's good. Kyle Raleigh, a gimmick. Can we have that in quotes?
Look, Kyle Raleigh's a good player. He's having an unbelievable season. But he's 80 points behind Judge in batting average. He's, I don't know how many points he's behind in the OPS. Every war, I know it's a flawed stat, but they keep sticking it on the side of every baseball reference page that you can look at.
You're right about that.
He's 2 points higher. So, like, what are we actually talking about? You want to see the gimmick win an MVP because you're tired of Aaron Judge winning the MVP? Then say that. I just don't think that that's fair to the best player in the American League.
So here's my question, and it's not for you. I'm curious if Sean and Tommy agree.
Can I talk?
I'm gonna warn you, it is not about who you think the MVP is.
Okay.
On November 13th, 2025, they're going to announce the American League MVP.
Right.
We are likely to be on the air at that time. Possibly, I guess, in theory. If it's announced on the air that Kyle Raleigh has won the American League MVP, do you think it's November, baseball's long gone, Tiki will either, whatever, or are we going to get a Tiki blow up live on the air, ripping and destroying the MLB writers?
So this is why I'm going to back off the argument, because I know me, when it gets announced on November 13th, I'm not going to give a flying you know. So that's why it's hard for me to argue it. But seeing how passionate Tiki was, I think Tiki is going to come across his iPad and he's going to go, what the bleep is this? Mm-hmm. I do think Tiki will revisit it. I do.
The story matters.
I get you.
And so they're writing a temporary story on someone who's having a phenomenal season for him, but not better than Aaron Judge.
All right. I actually think you've laid out points that are making me even second guess myself, which is good. But let me
that
ask you
that annoys me. I didn't lay out points that made you.
You took a side seat.
What he did today was better than anything we argued yesterday.
All right, fine.
But just hear me out. It's a regular season award, and we all acknowledge
that. Of course.
That. Knowing that it gets announced in November, if Judge flails again in October, but here comes Raleigh and the Mariners go steamroll.
That's why I won't care.
Because it's hard to argue once you see him fail in October. If the Mariners go on some kind
because
of run.
The only thing it matters for is when you start having these inane debates 10 years from now about how great Aaron Judge was or wasn't. And most people will have not watched him. Most people outside of the East Coast don't care. They probably hate the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing they're going to do is pull up his baseball reference page or his Fangraph page or whatever the heck it is and look at his statistics and look at how many MVPs he won and be like, well, he only won two MVPs. Yeah, Albert Pujols was better than him. He only won. He was hurt a lot. You know what? He wasn't that great. By denying him a deserved back-to-back MVP, which would be his third, which is only, six?
Yeah, so seven? A bunch of guys have won it three times.
Right.
Barry Bonds has won it seven times. Right. He has the lead, but a bunch of guys like Yogi Berra, Mike Schmidt, Ohtani, who's probably going to break that this year and get to four, a bunch of guys have won three. This would be Judge's third.
So if you win three, you're in rarefied air.
Absolutely.
Rarefied air.
Absolutely.
And who knows what's happening going forward? But if you deny him this season, you change his legacy.
The only reason I push back a little bit on that aspect is Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols won three MVPs. Four other times he finished in second place. A few times to Barry Bonds.
Right.
One time to Ryan Howard.
To Barry Bonds.
But my point is, I could argue Pujols could have won seven.
Okay, great.
So
Pujols
I think that's
great. We all knew it.
No, but I think that's the same thing with Judge. Like, we're going to say, well, Judge could have won five or six. He's great. We know it. Like, I'm not going to compare Ryan Howard to Cal Raleigh, but when Ryan Howard,
but
who's
Ryan
not
Ryan hired statistics, his stats were closer to Pujols.
No, they were, but Ryan Howard is not going to go to the Hall of Fame.
It doesn't matter.
Unless he buys a ticket.
It doesn't matter. He had a great full season, a great batting average, OPS, RBIs, home, everything.
He did.
Across the
board. But does it take away from Albert that it's only three instead of five? Maybe it does. Do you think it does?
No, I don't think so.
And that's where I think Judge will be fine. Because even if
unless it's only two.
Well, yeah. Well, then it's not as rarefied.
Yeah.
He's got to get to three or four.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It's very interesting.
I will make you this prediction. On November 13th, when they announce the American League MVP, I, for one, as passionate as I am today, I will not care.
It'll all depend on how Judge plays in the postseason for me.
That's how it will for you.
That's
here's
the
why,
only thing that'll matter.
Here's why none of that will matter for me. That day, as we're on the air, I'm getting set for Jets-Patriots Thursday Night Football. The last thing I'm going to care about is an award from 2 months earlier, with all due respect.
In that regard, I probably won't care either. Then.
Let's go to Dan in Connecticut. What's up, Dan?
Hi. I'd just like to say one of the teams you forgot to mention that was boring a few years ago was the New York Islanders. When Lou were in that team, it was boring as hell, but it didn't matter because they win. Mm. And that's what matters in the end. Instead of being, who cares what the rest of the league thinks?
Right, I agree. And that's what the Philadelphia Eagles' stance is. I don't care. We're not seeking your approval. We're just going to beat your ass on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, no, I think for fans it's very easy to say we're winning, who cares? But right. I've never felt, even about the Devils, as Sean pointed out, they killed the league and they put them to sleep and all that. I was growing up a hockey fan. I wasn't bored by them. I was enamored by their greatness.
Okay, so I have a team that was a dynastic team that were very boring. They had a boring superstar, and you shouldn't hate them, Evan. And that is the Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili Spurs.
I know I brought them up, and I said I didn't hate them.
They're boring.
Did you not hear me bring that up?
This is a big L.
I cleared it with Sean literally.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I didn't hear you then.
30 seconds before we were talking about this, I said, I have a team. He guessed through a bunch of teams. And then I said, it's the Spurs. And he goes, go with it. I go, all right, but
time
they've
out.
Moved on.
No,
Tiki
time
called
out.
Cal Raleigh a gimmick or Cal Raleigh
did
a gimmick.
Did you set up Tommy to fail? That's
Come on,
wrong
such
if
a
that's
jerk,
the case.
Dude. There are
in
times
fairness,
where I'm.
His season is a gimmick.
But Teek, there are times where everyone knows this. I'm screening calls. I don't hear every all second right. of the show. I lean on Sean to be my third and all fourth right. ear. And you screwed me.
All right, hold on. Because it's actually very funny behind the scenes.
Ass.
Tommy has been like a chihuahua barking at the dog pound for the last 10 minutes behind the scenes. And then Tiki took off with a great Cal Raleigh rant. I'm not going to get my point in. I had a good one for Evan. I had a good one for Evan.
Exactly.
And I started guessing, and he wouldn't tell me. He's like, I'm not going to take it, because then you're going to Brandon Jacobs me, and then you're going to take it.
That's not what happened.
Oh, time out, but that's what you said. I got to be honest with you.
No, it's not, but okay.
Over the course of the last 8 minutes, I got super engaged with the MVP talk. I tuned Tommy out, and he probably did say the Spurs to me, and I said, go with it, and I just didn't hear what he said.
You constantly ignore me, because you're like my work wife, and it's just wah, wah, wah. I said it at least once, probably twice, and now you make me look like an idiot, which I understand sometimes not that hard
to do. You had 10 minutes to tell me you were worried I was going to steal your idea, and then I checked out, and I missed that, because otherwise I would have said, by the way, bro, he already mentioned the Spurs.
So, Judge Tiki, whose fault is that? I said it. It was in the atmosphere.
Sometimes, Tommy, you got to make your own determinations.
I'm gonna make this better for Tommy because I'm on Tommy's side.
Really?
A lot of people have just tuned in. We were talking about boring dynastic teams. Is there anyone, Tommy, that maybe we didn't mention that you'll ask
me
if
I was bored
by?
Yeah, I got a great one, Evan, and honestly, you shouldn't hate this team, even though they beat you in the finals. Boring superstar, and that would be Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Pop, Spurs.
Oh, that's a good one, Tommy. And I mean,
but were they boring?
So they were regarded as very boring by everyone else. Like,
why? Because it was fundamentals?
Because it was low scoring. The superstar wasn't sexy. I remember the seven-game series they played against the Pistons, another boring-ass team, when the seventh game, the final score was like 73-71. Even the finals against my team, I remember...
That sounds boring. That's a good call.
No, and it was...
That's a good call, Tommy.
So Tommy's right in that the perception of the Spurs, even when they beat my team, was boring. And I'll tell you an example of this. So when the Nets played the Spurs in the NBA Finals, I lived in the state of Maryland. We didn't have the Odyssey app.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't listen to Mike and the Mad Dog or Wally and the Key. You know what I mean? I was listening to national radio. And the discussion on national radio was how boring the NBA Finals was. Now imagine, Teek, my team's in the NBA Finals. I want to hear about the series. And I got Tony Kornheiser saying, this is boring. I got Mike Greenberg saying, this is boring, other Mike.
I probably would have been saying the same thing.
And I get that, but as a fan, it really bothered me. So long-winded answer, Tommy. I think I always found the Spurs to be a team I needed to defend. Because of the fact they were connected to my team in the finals, and people talked about how boring they were, and I'm like, that series was not boring.
That's interesting.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. That's a great point, Tommy. Thank you for bringing that up.
But it was a boring series.
It probably was to outsiders, but to me it was amazing. We'll get back to your calls in a minute. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.